Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 10 March, 2026. Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, today is Sherry's birthday today, so everybody sing the Marine hymn. Happy birthday, Sherry. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5, there are 8 visions given to Zechariah, and we are in vision number 7. The flying ephah. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The prophet Zechariah, right at the beginning of the book, was given 8 visions. All in one night, by the way, too. After this was over, he probably never slept for a week. 8 visions. The first 5 visions were in chapters 1-4. We've studied those. Vision number 1, the rider on the red horse, chapter 1, 7-17. Vision number 2, the 4 horns and the 4 horn cutters, chapter 1, 18-21. Vision number 3, the surveyor, chapter 2. Vision number 4, Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. And vision number 5, the golden lampstand and the 2 olive trees, chapter 4. All of that was very positive blessings, greatly encouraged and comforted the Jews, the Jewish remnant returning from Persia and Babylon. That was the first 5 visions. And then in chapter 5, we have 2 more, vision number 6 and vision number 7. And we have studied vision number 6, the flying scroll, chapter 5, 1-4. And we are in the process of studying vision number 7, the flying ephah, chapter 5, verses 5-11. And then when we finish this, we go to chapter 6, 1-8, with the final vision, the 4 chariots. Now when we get to chapter 5, things change. Change from being visions of great encouragement and comfort to visions of judgment. And we are in those visions, number 6 and number 7. We are in vision number 7, the flying ephah. And the corrected translation sounds like this in verses 5 through 11. We've done the exegesis, but we're just beginning to get going on what this stands for and what it means. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5. Then the angel, and this is the teaching angel, who was talking to me, Zechariah, came forward and said to me, "Now look up and see what this is that's flying, going forth." Verse 6, and I asked, "What is it?" And he, the teaching angel, replied, "This is the ephah, a basket, that is flying, going forth. Moreover," he added, "this is their eye, their appearance, the iniquity and evil of the people throughout the earth." Verse 7. "And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and this," and you can just see the angel pointing, "this is a woman sitting inside the ephah." Verse 8, "Then he said, 'This is evil personified.'" You might have wickedness, but this is evil personified. "And he," the angel, "thrust her down into the basket," the ephah, "and pushed the lead cover down over his mouth." Did not want this woman to get out. Verse 9. "Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women were coming out with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork," and that's bad news too. "And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens. And I said to the angel," the teaching angel who was speaking with me or teaching me, "where are they taking the ephah?" Okay, verse 11. "Then he said to me, 'To build a house for her in the land of Shinar.'" There's the key. In the land of Shinar. Shinar is Babylon. "And when it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." The key word here in verse 11 is Shinar. Shinar is where the cities of Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh were all located. We saw that in Genesis 10, 8 through 10, and Genesis 11, 2. In Babel, under the guidance of Nimrod, the people built a city with a tower that reached to the heavens, Genesis 11, 3 and 4. The activity was in direct disobedience to God, who instructed Noah and his descendants after they left the ark to fill the whole earth, Genesis 9:1. In open rebellion to God's command, the people built a tower, the Tower of Babel, and they placed a temple at its top. And their rebellion manifested itself in maximum arrogance as they developed an evil religious system. And then I gave you a question. How will the evil mentioned throughout Zechariah chapter 5 relate to Babylon in the future? Well, there's a lot about Babylon in the future. Babylon is destined to rise from the ashes to play a major role in end times events. The name Babylon brings to mind unsavory images of an evil city-state with an abominable religious, political, and commercial system. And this is all taught and described in great detail by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. So this vision number 7, the Apostle John goes into great detail about this vision. Events in these chapters, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, represent an ecumenical religious system, a political system, and a commercial Babylonian system. In Revelation 17, verse 1, the Apostle John describes Babylon as a great prostitute. And this refers to Babylon's abominable religious idolatry. This perverted ecumenical religious system will become the epitome of spiritual idolatry and will reach its peak during the first half of the tribulation period. The prostitute is pictured sitting on many waters in Revelation 17, verse 1. And these are identified as peoples, multitudes, nations, languages, all over planet Earth in Revelation 17, verse 15. Captivated by Babylon's charm, the whole world will become intoxicated by this ecumenical religious system. In Revelation 17, verse 2, the kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the inhabitants of the whole earth were made drunk with the wine of her adulteries. Babylon will dominate the world by permeating every area of society. Ecumenical religion, including apostate Christianity and political powers, Revelation 14:8. In Revelation 17, verse 3, the prostitute is sitting on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Specifically, the beast is the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 1, who embodies the spirit of the Roman Empire. And the Antichrist will control the revived Roman Empire's political system. The prostitute's depravity is seen in her unholy alliance with the Antichrist, this despicable political world ruler. Church and state are married together as the woman rides the beast in Revelation 17, verse 3. That is, she, the great prostitute, uses the political system of the Antichrist to spread her false religious beliefs, this ecumenical religious system. In the first half of the tribulation, both systems, the ecumenical religious system, the great prostitute, and the political system, the Antichrist, will use the other to promote their ambition of world domination. At this point, the religious system, the great prostitute, will have a dominating influence over the political system, the Antichrist. Those who partake of the prostitute's poisonous cup of idolatry are destined to perish with her. And in Revelation 17, verse 5, this great prostitute has a title with 3 parts. part one, Babylon the Great. There's the key. This is the far fulfillment of what we have in Zechariah 5, 5 through 11. Then he said to me to build a house for her in the land of Shinar, Babylon. And when it's ready, the tribulation period, and when it's ready, the basket will be set there on its base. So this great prostitute has a title with three parts. The first one, part one, Babylon the Great. The second part, the mother of prostitutes. The third part, the abomination of the earth. So first of all, the prostitute is Babylon the Great. And we studied the first 6 points of the first part of the prostitute's title, Babylon the Great. We noted point one in Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Babylon the Great is an ecumenical religious system. Evil, evil, evil. Two, it refers to apostate Christendom. Three, this is a one-world church, including non-Christian religions, with headquarters in Rome. Four, in Revelation 17, 7 to 18, it is also political Babylon, the revived Roman Empire, the last form of the Gentile world dominion, headed by the beast, the Antichrist. Point five, in Revelation 17, verse 18, the woman you saw is that great city which rules over the kings of the earth. And it's clear from Revelation chapter 17, that Babylon the Great is linked to Rome religiously and politically. In Revelation chapter 18, it is highly likely the city of Babylon will be rebuilt and play a major role in the last half of the tribulation. Point six, the city's diabolical religious system can be traced from Nimrod's establishment of Babel in Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10, later called Babylon. Nimrod built a huge tower known as a ziggurat of sun-dried bricks on the plains of Shinar, Genesis 11, 1 to 4, and Shinar, Zechariah 5, verse 11. The tower was recognized as a temple or rallying center, a symbol of mankind's arrogance and rebellion against God. Other nations followed suit and constructed similar towers in honor of their heathen deities. God poured out judgment on this rebellious act by confounding the language and scattering the people across the face of the earth, Genesis 11, 7 through 9. However, this fact did not spell the demise of this Babylonian religious system. That brings us to point seven, where we start this evening. Point seven. History records that Nimrod's wife, and her name is Semiramis, or Semiramis, but we'll put it up here. Nimrod's wife, called Semiramis, she became the head priestess. The head priestess of an idolatrous system of secret religious rituals known as the Babylonian Mysteries. So history records that Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, became the head priestess of an idolatrous system of secret religious rituals known as the Babylonian Mysteries. Eight, Babylon became the fountainhead of idolatry. The fountainhead of idolatry and the mother of every pagan system that spread across the world. Babylon became the fountainhead of idolatry and the mother of every pagan system that spread across the world. Semiramis also supposedly gave birth to a son named Tammuz. Tammuz, who was miraculously conceived by the sunbeam. And this also led to the worship of the sun. Not the S-O-N sun, the S-U-N sun. He was presented to the people as a savior in fulfillment of the promise made to Eve concerning her seed, Genesis 3:15. Tradition says Tammuz was killed by a wild boar. But after the people fasted for 40 days, he was resurrected from the dead on the feast of Ishtar, the goddess Ishtar, the mother-son cult. Excuse me, this legend of a mother-son cult became part of the Babylonian mystery ritual and was quickly included in other idolatrous religious practices all over the world. This mother-son cult was headed by a priesthood that promoted salvation by work. What kind of work? Sprinkling of holy water. Ceremonial cleansing. And purgatorial cleansing after death. Semiramis established an order of virgins dedicated to religious prostitution. And she became known and worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. And we have the Queen of Heaven presented in the scriptures many times. Semiramis established an order of virgins dedicated to religious prostitution, and she became known and worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. Point nine. Ezekiel condemned the practice of Jewish women weeping for Tammuz. The son of Semiramis. Ezekiel condemned the practice of Jewish women weeping for Tammuz. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 12. verse 12. He said to me, son of man is Ezekiel, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the darkness? Well, Satan's works are in darkness. God's works are in light. Are doing in darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol. They say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Again, he said, you will see them doing things that are even more detestable. Then he brought me to the entrance to the north gate of the house of the Lord. And I saw women sitting there mourning, crying for Tammuz. And he said to me, do you see this, son of man, Ezekiel? You will see things that are even more detestable than this. He then brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord. And there at the entrance to the temple, between the portico and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were bowing down to the sun in the east, worshiping the sun. Of course, this was supposed to be the basis for the birth of Tammuz. They're worshiping the sun god. So Ezekiel condemned the practice of Jewish women weeping for Tammuz. Point 10. Jeremiah condemned Judah for offering cakes and burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven is the goddess Ishtar. Jeremiah condemned Judah for offering cakes and burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 16. So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes of bread for the Queen of Heaven, the goddess Ishtar. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me, the living and true God, to anger. But am I the one they are provoking, declares the Lord? Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? And therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My anger, my wrath, the function of the righteousness and justice of God, will be poured out on this place. On man and beast, on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Jeremiah 7:16-20. Now turn over to Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44, starting at verse 17. We will certainly do everything we said we would. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, the goddess Ishtar, and we'll pour out drink offerings to her, just as we and our fathers, our kings and our officials did in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. At that time, we had plenty of food and were well off and suffered no harm. But ever since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have had nothing and have been perishing by sword and by famine. The women added, "When we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did not our husbands know that we were making cakes like her image and pouring out drink offerings to her?" Verse 25. This is what the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the God of Israel, says. You and your wives have shown by your actions what you promised when you said, "We will certainly carry out the vows we made to burn incense and pour out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven." So Jeremiah condemned Judah for offering cakes and burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, the goddess Ishtar. Point 11. Zechariah personified evil as a woman who will be reestablished in the land of Shinar, Babylon, in the last days, the tribulation. And that's our passage, Zechariah 5, 5 through 11, the seventh vision. After the Medo-Persian Empire captured Babylon, its city and temples were destroyed. The Babylonian cult survived and found a new home in Pergamos in Asia Minor. It thrived under the name Etruscan Mysteries, the Etruscan Mysteries, and eventually was headquartered in Rome. The chief priests wore liturgical headdresses shaped like the head of a fish. They still do. Shaped like the head of a fish in honor of Dagon, the fish god, considered the Lord of Life, and that's another form of the Tammuz mystery. In Rome, the chief priest took the title Pontifex Maximus. When Julius Caesar became head of the Roman Empire, he took the name Pontifex Maximus, a title held by all of the Roman emperors down to Constantine the Great, who became head of both the church and the state. The title was later adopted by the Bishop of Rome. And over time, the church in Rome absorbed many of the Babylonian practices and idolatrous teachings, obscuring the true meaning of Scripture with such teachings as the worship of the Virgin Mary. Many of these teachings can be attributed to Constantine, who combined paganism with Christianity when he adopted Christianity as the state religion. Today, as we speak right now, a number of Protestant denominations, and I'll tell you right now, most denominations are evil. There's nowhere, God never told us to be members of a denomination. Your authority is the God-breathed scriptures. Upland Bible Church is not a part of a denomination. Our authority is the God-breathed scriptures, the Word of God, not what a denomination says. And the denominations in America have gone to hell. So, today, a number of Protestant denominations have, one, turned a blind eye to the anti-biblical teaching found in Roman Catholicism. Today, a number of Protestant denominations have, one, turned a blind eye to the anti-biblical teaching found in Roman Catholicism. Two, they are cooperating in various religious functions with the Roman Church. They are cooperating in various religious functions with the Roman Church. This is the ecumenical religious system is being formed right in front of our eyes. And third, they are even making overtures to reunite with it. So today, a number of denominations, Protestant denominations, have turned a blind eye to the anti-biblical teaching found in Roman Catholicism. They are cooperating in various religious functions with the Roman Church, and they are even making overtures to reunite with it. So, principle. Christendom will ultimately give birth to a one-world church. It's in the process right now. Christendom will ultimately give birth to a one-world church, an ecumenical religious system, after the rapture of true believers. So we're living in the church age. Church age will conclude with the rapture. When is the rapture going to occur? Nobody knows. I think it's very close, frankly, but then Paul thought it was very close too. So we're living in the church age, but once the rapture occurs, and all the royal family of God are out, gone, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit stops. There's no more restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's when this one world church, ecumenical religious system will come on the scene. In the first half of the tribulation, it'll go full bore for the first 3.5 years. And the great prostitute, the ecumenical religious system, actually rides the beast, the Antichrist, for 3.5 years. And then the Antichrist said, I'm sick and tired of this. And so he nukes the ecumenical religious system. Mushroom cloud, and everybody's crying, oh, there's a mushroom cloud over Rome and all these things. And that's when the Antichrist hits high gear. And then he goes into Israel and goes into the temple and declares himself to be God. That's the last half of the tribulation period. So the principle, I want you to get this, Christendom will ultimately give birth to a one-world church, the ecumenical religious system, after the rapture takes place, the rapture of the royal family of God, because at that point, there's no believers. There's no believers left on the earth after the rapture. And secondly, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit is over. The restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is over. That's when Satan gets into high gear, light speed. So, one, in the tribulation, 7-year tribulation, The Apostle John saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. In the tribulation, the Apostle John saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Now, after the rapture takes place, there will be those people that have been going to a sound doctrinal teaching church, but they had never believed in Christ, and then they go back and everybody's gone. And if anybody in here and everybody's gone, except you're still here, I suggest you believe in Jesus Christ. You're in the tribulation. Not going to be fun and games. And you'll probably be one of the martyred for your faith in Christ, because this ecumenical religious system is out slaughtering Christians that are in the tribulation who believe in Christ. Turn over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, verse 6. And see, this is in verses 1 through 7, we have the ecumenical religious system, religious Babylon, the great prostitute. In fact, the end of verse 5, this title was written on her forehead, mystery. This is Musterion, not known about before. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. Verse 6, I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, those people who believed in Christ. And now this is when you have the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, giving grace and truth, and the 144,000 true Jehovah's Witnesses, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, proclaiming the grace gospel. And there will be those who believe in Christ, but most of them will be martyred, slaughtered, massacred, for their faith in Jesus Christ. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. So in the tribulation, the Apostle John saw the woman, the great prostitute, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, Revelation 17:6. 2. This woman will not tolerate competition from other religions or beliefs and will pour out her cruelties on the defenseless tribulation saints. This woman will not tolerate competition from other religious beliefs like faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works for eternal salvation. She won't tolerate that. And she will pour out her cruelties on the defenseless tribulation saints, those who responded to Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, and the 144,000 real Jehovah Witnesses. 3, she will be drunk with human blood. She will be drunk with human blood, which will inflame her insatiable lust for more violence. She will be drunk with human blood, which will inflame her insatiable lust for more violence as she attempts to destroy everything to do with Christ, Jesus Christ, and His followers. She will be drunk with human blood, which will inflame her insatiable lust for more violence as she attempts to destroy everything to do with Christ and His followers. Four, the Antichrist will assist her by providing the necessary political power. Remember, when she's doing this, that's the first half of the tribulation. She's riding the beast. And the Antichrist will assist her by providing the necessary political power to kill those who believe in Jesus Christ. Four, the Antichrist will assist her by providing the necessary political power. Five, this savage persecution will be against tribulation believers. Not to the royal family of God of the church age. We're not here. We're removed at the rapture. When the rapture takes place, there are no believers on planet Earth until the two witnesses and 144,000 present the grace gospel. And then there will be many that believe in Christ. But this savage persecution will be against tribulation believers, not the royal family of God of the church age. We're removed at the rapture. Six, tribulation saints will be martyred. We might even put in massacred on a worldwide scale for faithfully proclaiming their faith in Jesus Christ. Tribulation saints will be martyred, massacred on a worldwide scale for faithfully proclaiming their faith in Jesus Christ. Turn over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Starting at verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood, the slaughter of Christians in the tribulation?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been completed. Look over at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then turn over to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And this is where we have the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Verse 7. Now when they have finished their testimony, this is Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, the beast, Abaddon, that comes up from the abyss, will attack them and overpower and kill them. Revelation 11, verse 7. And then turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, we have the Antichrist. And look at verse 7. He is the Antichrist. He was given power to make war against the saints, tribulational believers, and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. So, there will be many people after the rapture. And the rapture, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's signless and timeless. But everything is ready for Satan and the Antichrist and the tribulation. Everything is in place and ready to go. But there's something holding it up. The restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We're living in the church age and the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And that's fantastic. But following the rapture, all believers are gone. There are no believers on planet Earth after the rapture. Only unbelievers. And the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit is over. No more. Now Satan hits high gear. So point 7. Suddenly the beast, the Antichrist, and ruler of the revived Roman Empire will make an abrupt turnabout. Suddenly the beast, the Antichrist, and the ruler of the revived Roman Empire will make an abrupt turnabout. 8. They will awaken from their drunken stupor with the woman, the great prostitute, whose charm and seduction will have lost their allure, and their love for her will turn to hate. They will awaken from their drunken stupor with the great prostitute, the woman, ecumenical religious system, whose charm and seduction will have lost their allure. Their love for her will turn to hate. Revelation 17, verse 16. Turn to Revelation 17, verse 16. Revelation 17:16. The beast, that's the Antichrist, and the ten horns, the revived Roman Empire you saw, will hate the prostitute, and they will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And frankly, that perfectly describes being nuked. That perfectly describes being nuked. Eat her flesh and burn her with fire. 9. The beast, the Antichrist, and the ten-nation confederacy, the revived Roman Empire, will destroy the great prostitute, the ecumenical religious system, prior to the midpoint of the tribulation. The beast, the Antichrist, and the ten-nation confederacy, the revived Roman Empire, will destroy her, the great prostitute, ecumenical religious system, prior to the midpoint of the tribulation. Ten, they will bring her to ruin. Revelation 17:16. They will divest her of all of the wealth that she confiscated. Revelation 17:16. They will leave her naked, stripping away her personal support, her position, her power and prestige, thus exposing her moral corruption. Revelation 17:16. They will leave her naked, stripping away her personal support, position, power, and prestige, and thus exposing her moral corruption. 12. Revelation 17:16 says they will eat her flesh. In the time which we are, that describes her being nuked. They will eat her flesh like the wild dogs that devoured the corpse of Jezebel. 1 Kings 21:23, 2 Kings 9:30-37. When they went out to find Jezebel, there was nothing there but bones. And 13, Revelation 17:16 says they will burn her with fire. That describes being nuked, eliminating all vestiges of her identity, her false religious system. All right. Well, I think we ought to go at least the next point because, let's see. I got to go a few more. So we'll stop at 13. 13 is my lucky number. 13. So we'll start at 14 next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of happiness and blessing in our lives. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for the blessings that we have in the down that grace pipeline in the church age. To you goes the honor and the glory. In Christ's name, amen.